You're listening to the High Point Church Podcast.
Well, every Christmas in my home growing up, we were those lucky few who got to travel either before Christmas to go to Grandma's house or after Christmas, you know, on Christmas Day. And so we experienced delays and detours and cancellations. You ever been on a Christmas road trip and your car's loaded out and you get a flat just before you leave or something like that, and or the kid decides to get sick, like right as you're about to walk out the door, and you're just like, okay, we got to clean that up on aisle four. This week, we had a big snowstorm out east, and just the news said over 2,000 flights were canceled nationwide last Sunday afternoon, and over 6,000 flights were delayed. I mean, you know, it's no fun to be sitting in an airport on Christmas. That's just no fun. We had an experience like that where it was our first Christmas, and we were here in the cities, and my father-in-law had flown in for a funeral, and then we were all going to fly to Santiago, Chile together, and we wound up getting delayed in Dallas overnight, and we spent Christmas in a Scuddy Airport hotel. It was fun. It was great, you know. And then we finally made it, but it was a day late, and you know, it's just not Christmas if it's not on the day. So I've heard. But we know what it is: cancellation, delays, detours. We think we're getting the right, we're going the quick route, and all of a sudden the snowstorm hits, and they shut down a highway if you're going to the north, and they've shut it down, so you got to go through this major detour. But what happens in life when you go through those cancellations, those delays, those detours in life, where you think you're going into the Christmas season well, and all of a sudden you get bad news, you get a bad diagnosis from the doctor, you get a bad report, there's relational tension that you just didn't expect, your kids are, there's fighting, there's their marriage is on the rocks, and you feel penned in, put in the middle, your parents, you're talking about helping them into a care facility, or maybe they've gotten injured and they're just aging, and you're trying to figure out what will this be the last Christmas, and it's not how you planned. And some of you, you've gotten bad news of other sorts. You're trying to get a family going, and this Christmas is very sad for you because things just didn't go as you planned, and we deal with these all the time. We see that we lose jobs. Even at Christmas, companies lay people off. I mean, it happens, and we go through life, and we hit those delays, we hit those cancellations, we hit those moments where we just don't know quite what to do. I was thinking about the Christmas story, and so often when we hear the kids sing it and we hear what's going on, we get this joyous thing in our head, and it is joyous. But I think about Mary and Joseph and what they went through the 9 months, and then just before Jesus was born, was full of delays, full of cancellations, full of moments where I'm sure they just didn't know that they could pull it off, or I'm sure that it was not according to plan. Mary, Joseph, and then the two of them, I'm going to kind of walk through this, but Mary experienced delays. She knew what it was to have plans. She, like many, many ladies here, she had been practicing her last name as you know, Joseph's last name, which I can't remember. I don't know that we know, but of Arimathea, you know, I don't know. She had plans. She was going to marry this man. She was going to give him babies. She was going to be a carpenter's wife. You know what that means? She would have furniture. I mean, this was good. She was going to live a good life, because if nothing else failed, he could build her something. you know, and they could make money because he was skilled. He had abilities. This was good for her. It was a secure living. It was a promise of a secure future. She had dreamed of the white picket fence. She had dreamed of these things. She had these in her heart. And then something out of the blue. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, her aunt, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. God sent the angel Gabriel, and it messed up her plans. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." And I love this. Because you'd think that in this moment, you know, just the Hollywood version of this would be she would, like, break into dance. She would break into, you know, something, like, amazing and tap dance around or something. But it says, confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. Confused and disturbed. This is confusing. Lord, I had a plan, and it was a good one. I had things worked out. I was going to do this. I was going to work here. I was going to get this promotion. I was going to get there. I was going to marry her. I was going to do. We were going to have these many kids. We were going to do this. And now it's not working out to plan. Do you ever feel like that sometimes? Do you know what that feels like when it's not working out to plan? It was, and there's nothing wrong with her plan. But God had a different plan. And I just love that it says confused and disturbed. I can relate to confused and disturbed. Disturbed because I'm a virgin. How's this going to happen? I mean, I know how babies work. Confused because this isn't my plan. God, don't you care about my plans? You ever prayed that prayer? Thought that prayer? And I'm sure God chuckles just the same as you do. It's like, no. You know, I've had a plan for you long before you had a plan for you. You see, God formed us, created us, knit us in our mother's womb. You are not a mistake. And although you may feel like you're wandering aimlessly through life, God has a special thing for you. These kids, I look at them with such potential in their eyes. Just smart kids. I mean, little Cakerets, memorize that. Man, he did good. Just proud. Plans. I've got plans for my kids. I've got plans for them to marry men and women of God. Not multiple, but like respectively. Those are my plans. I've got plans for them to go to college. I've got plans for them to be eloquent, to speak well, to lead people. I've got plans for them to be used by God. And there's a fear as a parent. Lord, what happens if those plans don't come true? And it throws us when they don't. But here in this moment, Mary tried to figure it out. What does this angel mean? What does it mean? It doesn't make sense. I don't understand. And some of you, you're in a delay, and the thing hasn't happened. The thing hasn't happened. You want it, but it's not there yet. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her. For you have found favor with God. I love that. May we, in the delays, simply seek the favor of God. Some of us, we try to figure it out. We try to get it all worked out. And okay, if this doesn't work, then I'll go to plan B. And I don't know if you're like this, but I tend to be. And it's like, all right, I'll work this angle. I'm a hustler. I'll figure it out. Baby, don't worry, but I got this. I can manufacture this. I will get a night job for this. I will fix it. There are moments that you can't fix, and the delay comes, and there's nothing you can do. And all we must do is seek the favor of God. Well, how do we seek the favor of God? What does that even look like? Well, I think that's simply just looking at His Word, looking at His truth, and being people of His presence. Yesterday, the kids went out and they were doing a little shopping with Mom, and just turn on some worship music in the house. Just to seek the favor of God. Just to get my mind focused on what really matters. For you have found favor with God. Mary was a woman who sought the favor of God and not the favor of man or even the favor of her fiancé. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. This is my plan now. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. And Mary asked the angel. I love the questions people ask. How can this happen? I'm a virgin. I mean, do I need to tell you a little lesson on the birds and the bees, angel? We need to talk about this. She was young, 14 to 16 years old. She was young. She was a child. She had her plans, but God had different plans for her. And in this delay, she would have to put off her plans with this marriage and her children and her life for God's plans. But how can this happen? The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." You see, I think a lot of delays we go through in life are more opportunities. They're more opportunities than anything. God usually wants to work in our delays in ways that we can't dream or imagine. And so what do we do in the delay? I think we just step back and we let God conceive something. Because you and I are really good at doing. We're really good at being busy. We're really good at manufacturing. We're really good at selling. We're really good at making it happen. We're Americans. We make it happen. But I think there are moments in life, and more often than not, it's less about making it happen and more about seeking God and saying, "God, what are you conceiving? What is conceived by your Holy Spirit that you want birthed in this season of delay? I thought this was going to happen. It's not. I'm frustrated. I'm confused. But you know what? I want you and your plan more than I want my plan." That's a change of attitude. That's a big, big shift. I have a friend who he had a delay. He had his plans. He was part of this company, and he had just gotten on just a few years into the company. He was working his way up. They had kind of earmarked him to move into CEO role. They were grooming him. Things were going well. People were pleased. There was growth in the business. And then there was a change of leadership, change of focus, change of what they wanted to do. And his role was over like that. And the journey of his life, the things he'd been going through, it threw him into despair, it threw him into despondency, it threw him into depression. He didn't understand. He thought it was his doing. He thought it was his lack. He kept going over into his head, "What did I do wrong?" And in that moment, instead of just giving up, he decided, "You know what? We're gonna look for an opportunity here." And he went back to school for his master's degree. He went back into a totally different area. It was related, but it was different. And it took him years to process this. It took him years to go through this. But that delay turned into a whole new set of opportunities for him. And it took him years, but he's totally rebuilt what others had taken, and it turned into something really, really great for him. He loves what he's doing now. I don't know what delay you're experiencing. I don't know what thing in life you're going through, but might I just say, could it be that the Lord wants to conceive something new in your heart? Could it be that the Lord wants to do something brand new? And this delay is merely a gateway to that. Mary experienced delays. Joseph contemplated cancellations.
He contemplated, he processed this. Here's what it says. This is how the birth of Joseph, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. That's a very technical term, before they came together. It just means before they consummated their marriage. She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, meaning he was a good Jewish boy. He was faithful. He did what he should do, and yet did not want to expose her publicly to disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. He wanted to cancel this. He was a good guy, but you know, this wasn't what we, this just wasn't what I bargained for. I mean, you can imagine your fiance comes to you and says, "I'm pregnant." And you go, how did that happen? Well, it's an angel came to me. Right. You know, I mean, just, I don't think, and the Bible speaks of this, there's only a few people that angels come to, especially at that point in time in biblical history. He was just doing what you would do. I don't know that I can deal with this. I think I need to cancel this. I think this, we just, I'll do it well. She's a sweet girl. I think she's wonderful. She's a godly woman, but obviously there's some things I didn't know about. Obviously, she's living a life I just am not prepared for. Obviously, this is just not, we just need to, we'll cancel this thing. We'll start over. I'll find a nice new girl. This will be great. He was contemplating this. He was processing this in his heart. Can you imagine if he would have gone through with it? Left Mary to be a single mom with the Son of God? Can you imagine looking back on his life if he would, with his new wife and their kids, and looking back and just thinking as he watched Jesus, the Christ, go and be crucified, thinking that I could have been steward and father to the Son of God. What a mistake. Can you imagine the regret and the frustration and to usurp God's plan by canceling it? And might I just say this? I wonder, and there are times for endings. I understand that. There are moments, there are necessary moments where things must end. I get that. But could it be that in our life, we cancel things prematurely? Could it be that maybe you're contemplating a cancellation, an end, something, and you aren't giving it what it needs? You aren't giving God time to work. You aren't giving space to really process it. You're just contemplating, it just happened, and you're ready to cancel it. You're ready to end the marriage. You're ready to cancel the relationship. You're ready to cancel that contract. You're ready to cancel that situation. You're ready to leave that job. You're ready cancel it. Could it be that maybe this Christmas, God wants to do something through that seemingly crazy scenario that you want to cancel? I don't know. Only God can tell you. But he wanted to divorce her prematurely. And I think many of us have given up hope on a situation. Many of us have stopped praying for something. We've canceled the prayers. We've given up. We've said, this is what it is, and there's nothing I can do about it. And maybe, just maybe, we need to learn like Joseph to persevere through it. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." It's hard work to persevere. It might mean you need to ask forgiveness for something. It might mean you need to seek somebody's forgiveness. It might mean you need to forgive somebody else. It might mean you need to work through a scenario that you don't want to work. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I don't like it. But my prayer is that whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you want to cancel, whatever it is that you would see that maybe it's there for God to save his people through. Maybe there's a redeeming quality there. Maybe there's something that you don't understand. Maybe there's something that you want to end, but God says, no, let this come about because I want to save my people through. I want to bring about my kingdom. I want to do something great in this situation. I don't know. It may be that the thing that seems like a cancellation is actually conceived by the Holy Spirit. It might be to save people from their sins. We had a moment. A number of years ago, we were house hunting. We were looking at this townhome in Invergrove Heights, and it was great. It was brand new. It was exciting. We were all excited, and we were living in an apartment at the time, and so everything just looks exciting, you know. But and so we went through, and it was this timing, and we had mold in our apartment. It was a long story, but we were just ready to get into something. And so we found that there was a cancellation on a contract for a townhome, and it would be ready pretty immediately. We just would have to do the financing and get it, and we could move in. And so we looked through it, and we liked it, and it had some upgrades. And I might not have picked the carpet or the countertops, but you know what? It was a decent deal, and this was good. And so we have a rule in our house that we don't make major decisions like, you know, over... Ours is like $100, but this was like substantially more than that. And so we don't make those decisions without a 24-hour waiting period. I don't know if you have a rule like that, but that's what the rule we have. And so we were kind of processing this, and so that night we went home, and we prayed about it, and we thought about it, and the next morning we woke up, and this feels good to you? This feels good to me? All right, I called immediately first thing that morning. When are you open? I've got the check. We'll put the deposit down, and we'll be there. Oh, we're out doing appointments. Come later. So I showed up. Nobody was there. It was empty. So I went away and I called again. They said, come at 2 o'clock. I showed up with the check already written, ready to buy. I was really excited. A little spring in my step. I got there, and the lady was meeting with somebody. The realtor was meeting with somebody. And I said, I kind of waved, kind of put the check, kind of like, you know, did one of these. Money. And she came out, how can I help you, sir? Well, I'd like to buy this house, and here's the deposit. Oh, that one. I'm sorry, this woman here, she just signed a check for that house. But mine is signed. She's signing. I'm first. It doesn't work like that. Oh. And it was canceled. In our heart, we were there. I'd moved in. I'd put up pictures. I'd picked my bedroom. But it was canceled. And there was this delay, and there was this uncertainty, and I didn't understand, but there's preparation in the cancellation. There's preparation. For Joseph and Mary, he decided not to cancel, and for 8 months, there was preparation. There was work that God was doing. For years, we see him again 12 years later after Jesus is born, and he's protecting Jesus. He's protecting Mary. He's taking care of them. He's working. He's preparing so that God's work could come to pass, so that Jesus could make it till he was crucified on the cross at 33 years old and could do the work that he came to do. It was the cancellation just needed perseverance in order to bring about the plan of God. And in our house, we decided to sign on a different one that would take 8 months. But I'm so glad we did, because those 8 months for us were a season of saving, a season of preparation, and a season of starting High Point. And it was a powerful season where we needed the 8 months more than we ever dreamed, and God saved us from what would have been a short-term opportunity. He saved us by giving us longer time to prepare. And maybe for you, you are walking through a cancellation, and you're on the verge, and I just want to throw it out there. Maybe God wants to do something in you and in this situation that you never dreamed or imagined. Is there a Holy Spirit moment in this for you? Mary and Joseph lived detours. They knew cancellations. They experienced delays, but they knew detours. It says, at the time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken
when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. Because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. She was like the turkey timer was done. Like the belly button had popped. She was pregnant. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, look at that. It's cooked. And you know, like pregnant women don't travel on airplanes for a reason in the third trimester. Because nobody wants to see somebody give birth at 30,000 feet. Pregnant woman, like you don't just hop in a family excursion, get in the Suburban and head on out to Detroit for Christmas just when you're in your last few weeks of pregnancy. I mean, that's just not what you do. You say, hey, family, I love you. You can come here. Matter of fact, you know what? Come later, but I'm not coming to you. Like in the last little bit, you pregnant women, you know, like you're not sleeping. You're like, you might be nesting, but it's like nesting to have a baby in your house. It's not like, oh yeah, I want to go nest in somebody else's house. Like this is just, nobody wants to have a baby homeless. This is not what you have in mind. That's a detour. Well, the law, we're going to break the law. We're going to have trouble with the law. I don't want to have trouble with the law. I'm already single, like dealing with this engaged baby scenario, and I don't want the law on my back. And so I guarantee you they waited till the last possible minute. Come on, Mary. Come on, have the baby now. They'll recover on the road. You know, I'm sure they were worried. I'm sure in this detour they were scared that she would have the baby on the road. The distance from where they lived to Bethlehem was about 80 miles. 80 miles through terrain that would have had robbers, would have had all sorts of things. It was safer to travel in a group, in a pack, and I'm sure they waited to the last possible moment, which means they had to travel alone, which means everybody, 1/12 of the population of Israel, had already gone to Bethlehem and had already taken their rooms and was already beginning the census process. So that meant that what normally would have taken 4 days with a healthy non-pregnant woman probably took a week, maybe longer. I mean, can you imagine riding on a donkey 8 months pregnant? That just sounds horrible. And here in this detour and delay, they get there and there's no room. There's no room. Everything's taken. That's a detour. That's not what I had him planned. I'm sure Joseph did his best. I'm sure he tried to negotiate a room with some family or some people. I'm sure he tried to say, like, look, she's pregnant. And the people were like, sorry, I've got a stable. I've got a place where cows are. They gave birth just, you know, in the spring and they did okay. I'm sure you'll be fine. Who wants to give birth in a barn? Unsanitary, disgusting. You know what animals do in the barn? It's not pretty. But in this moment and in this delay, God was working. God was there. We go, what good could this have done? Why didn't, I mean, I don't understand. It was God's son. It was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, his God in flesh, Emmanuel, the ruler of rulers, the one who would save man from sin. Surely God could have made a little room in a room. In a house somewhere? But he knew what he was doing. See, God's detours are not like our detours. Our detours, we take the scenic route, takes us 2 hours longer, and everybody's mad at everybody. But God's detour takes us to where he wants us to go. It's not our plan, but it's his plan. And when we get there, we find that he works it and processes it, and he leads us to life. Your detours usually lead you to frustration. God's detours lead you to life. And in this moment, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. See, God redeems our detours. He redeems it. Whose time was it? Was it Mary's time? No. Was it Joseph's time? No. But it was God's time. He says, while they were there, the time came. It was God's moment. And detours are merely a tool to bring about his plan. I ran across a pastor friend this week, and he told me just this amazing story. He said that earlier this year, he was doing some ministry to a homeless family in the Elliott Park neighborhood, and they were talking with them and working with them, and it was a mom and a dad and a three-month-old baby. And the baby was homeless. The family was homeless. And it was one night that the pastor and his wife were there ministering, and the family said, would you just take our baby home for a few days? Would you just take her home, just get her out of the elements, just let her just feed her, take care of her, just help us by taking care of our baby for a few days? The pastor, I mean, what do? Like, can you take a baby home? Like, you know, they're going through all of this, just trying to figure out what to do, and they did. They obliged. They already had a couple kids, so one more just wouldn't hurt. They knew how to nurture babies. So they took the baby home, and they prayed over this baby. They interceded over this baby. And my pastor friend, he said his wife, she felt like she had a word for this baby from God that just said that this baby would grow up in a Christian home and be sheltered by God. And it was just this moment where they're like, is this for us? Is this our baby? Well, they brought it to a staff meeting, and just to tell the story, and the staff prayed over it. And at the staff meeting, a deacon couple, young deacon couple at the church, they were in the 30s, they show up, and they had been praying, God laid it on their heart since 2009 to adopt. And so they'd tried, they'd done some foster care, they'd foster cared like 15 kids in the journey, in the season. Since 2009, they had it on their heart, they'd saved money, they'd prepared, they'd worked, but they just didn't know. They'd even signed with an adoption agency. And when they met this baby, it was like meeting their baby. It was love at first sight. It was just this moment. The mom, I talked to her, she said, I just grabbed her and just couldn't let her go. And so they went to the court hearings and called social services and just said, here's the situation. The parents signed over their legal guardianship to the state. And within just a little bit, just boom, 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 miracles upon miracles, moments upon moments, what seemed like a tragedy in the making, what seemed like it could have been just the demise of this child and brokenness and a string of just despair after despair after despair was an answer to prayer for this family. And they, this Christmas, are celebrating their new daughter in this moment. It's a powerful story of redemption, of how God takes what was a detour, a delay, a cancellation, something that was just wasn't in the plan, and brought about a fulfillment of a dream since 2009. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what is on your heart or what cancellation or delay or I don't know what it is. I know I've experienced them, my share. But what I do know is that our God works on our behalf if we make Him our primary source. If we seek Him and His will over our will and our desires, and if we submit our plans to Him, He makes a way. And maybe, just maybe, this Christmas, God wants to use you and your family and your scenario to bring others to this wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me and bow your heads? Lord, we thank You that although our plans and desires and dreams might be full, and even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, You promise, if You're our shepherd, we don't have to fear evil. And even when sickness comes and knocks at our door, and even when the things of life and the storms of life wash over us, and even when we don't know what to do, or how to work it, or how to understand it, and we're confused, and we're frustrated, and it's not our plan, it's not working out the way we thought. Lord, You are sovereign, and You are good, and You want to bless us and bless the world through us. You want to bring about the salvation of many through us. And so, Lord, we just submit our plans. We submit our cancellations. We submit our delays. May You work through these
scenarios and situations. And may you bring about the salvation of many. In your name we pray, Jesus. Maybe somebody's here in this room and this is a moment where you don't have Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're a visitor, maybe you're here to see the kids, and you can't say that He is your source. And if this resonates with you, all you have to do this morning is just simply surrender. Say, Jesus, I surrender my hopes, my dreams, my failures. I surrender myself to you. Take me, cleanse me, make me new. And if you pray that prayer with sincerity and you invite Jesus into your life, you will have the hope of a Savior, and He will transform you, and He'll never leave you or forsake you. He will always be there for you. Amen.